good evening, Mayor Fast, and committee members and audience. Start with introductions. This is our third workshop in our general plan update, 2030 general plan update. Second series of workshops, third workshop, where we're starting to introduce the draft material to you. I'm David Berletic, city planner. Also in attendance, we have our, on the general plan update team, our Rob Terry, assistant planner behind you, Darlene Mata, planning consultant, and Bruce O'Neill, planning consultant. Also joining us tonight is Barbara Steck from Fresno COG. She's going to give you a presentation tonight.
Yay!
And then we have Rocky Rogers, city manager, is here tonight. Mike Pardo with the engineering division, and Kay Pierce, the city clerk, is here. And we also have the Boy Scouts in attendance. So thank you for being here. To review real quickly, again, this is the third workshop. We started off by introducing the land use, the draft land use element in our first workshop, going over the proposed land use map and some other changes in there. And then also with our second meeting, came back and talked a little bit more about density as it was related to land use. I had quite a few questions from the committee and the audience, so we spent a little more time at the last meeting talking about density, and Bruce gave a presentation on what different densities look like. Also at that last meeting, you had a presentation from Fresno LAFCO, the director Jeff Witte, talked to you about the process for the sphere expansion process that we'll be entering into after we finish up our workshops. Again tonight, Barbara Steck is going to give a presentation on the Valley Blueprint process. You've heard quite a bit about that, and it's a regional concept of how are all the communities in the Valley going to work together to achieve a lot of common goals. And then Darlene Mata is going to give a presentation on introduce the circulation element, then we'll invite comments by the public and adjourn and announce our next meeting. With that, I will introduce Barbara Steck.
Thank you, David. Good evening. It's great to be here. As David said, I'm Barbara Steck from the Council of Governments, and I have been working on a project known as the San Joaquin Valley Blueprint for the last 5 years. I've made visits to all of our member agencies, so I was in Reedley one or two times in the past when we were doing the actual planning process. But we've moved on, and so I wanted to share with you some of the activities that we've been involved in most recently. Oh, okay, where is this going to project?
Over there.
Okay. I'm looking at the screen behind.
That's the basketball game, is that what you said?
Okay.
Get a beer.
Is this warming up?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll give you a little brush up on the process. In 2006, we received a grant from Caltrans to do a valley-wide planning process that would look out to the year 2050. Well, we picked the year 2050 for the entire San Joaquin Valley, and we worked with our fellow, for the ease of conversation, I'll just call it our fellow COGs in the other seven counties. So it started at San Joaquin all the way down to Bakersfield. So that's the geographic region of the San Joaquin Valley COGs. We promised from the beginning that this would be a bottom-up process and that it was voluntary in nature, and that was written into the grant that we received from Caltrans. Because I would say that it is unusual for the councils of government to be involved in land use. Normally, of course, we do transportation planning, and which is very closely related to our air quality planning as well, because we can't do any transportation plans or any projects that would make the air quality worse. So air quality modeling is very much a part of the process that we go through. So we started out to do this planning process in the Valley, and each of us did it within our own counties. So I worked here in Fresno County, and my colleagues worked in their own counties. And then we worked with UC Davis to stitch it all together so that we came up with our Valley-wide blueprint. And I handed out a little brochure for you to kind of give you more details on this Valley-wide process. Each of the counties came in at different densities. You can see in the brochure that each of the counties came in at different densities. And this is, I think, an area where we've probably had the most controversy, the D word. We talked about that before when I went to visit all of the cities. People have become very concerned about density. The word alone evokes, you know, mental images, I think, of New York City. But our current density in Fresno County is about 3.8 units per acre. And the planning process in Fresno County, the agreement from the Blueprint Roundtable, which of course was vetted through all of our member agencies, was a commitment to 8 units an acre. And let me remind you that this is it's 8 units per acre of new residential development to the year 2050. So it's not 8 units an acre next year or 5 years from now. It also, our board asked us to go back and drill down a little bit deeper on that 8 units an acre. What does it mean countywide? What we found out was really the Fresno-Clovis metropolitan area is more like 9 units an acre, and the average for the rest of the county would be about 5.9 units an acre. So I think that there's a certain comfort level in knowing that actually I think a lot of our member agencies that do have population growth are looking at these very types of densities. And I think Bruce showed you at your last meeting that depending on the design of projects, you can have some very, very nice looking projects that are go beyond the 3.8 of what we're currently familiar with. So that's just a little bit of background. And of course we tied this to, in our modeling activities, to the different performance measures to see that if you did use land more efficiently, you could get benefits. And some of those benefits are saving farmland, improving air quality, lowering vehicle miles traveled. And so those were the types of things that we used to measure what changes in land use patterns would bring. So that that culminated with the adoption. With the adoption of the blueprint in April of 2009. And this was adopted by the San Joaquin Valley Regional Policy Council. This is 2 elected officials from each of the councils of government in the valley. And we call that the Regional Policy Council. And they adopted the blueprint on April 1st. The blueprint really, what we consider, is the commitment to the density, which is 6.8 valley-wide, and the 12 smart growth principles. So this is kind of a duplication of what you have in your brochure. But I'm sure in your general plan process, you've been talking about smart growth principles. It's really, these principles have been around for maybe 20 years or so in the planning profession. And it's all about, I think, as I said, using land more efficiently, creating a range of housing opportunities, walkable neighborhoods, community and stakeholder collaboration, foster distinctive and attractive communities with a strong sense of place. So these 12 principles were actually adopted, even though the densities were different in each county, the principles are the same throughout the valley. So everybody bought into the principles. And I will say, back when we were examining what the values were of the community, I think air quality was probably the largest concern that we heard valley-wide, and that was common in every one of the counties. There were slight variations, but generally the values that we found in Fresno County occurred throughout the valley. So, in 2010, February of last year, just a little over a year ago, we hired the firm of Minter Harnish, a consulting firm, to prepare some what we call deliverables to back up the blueprint commitment. And they were we contracted with them to prepare a summary report memorialize the planning process that we undertook for the first 3 years, to draft a guidance framework or implementation strategy, and to develop a web-based planner's toolkit that would help our member agencies, which would be the cities and counties, to implement the blueprint. And by implement the blueprint, what I mean is that the principles that we have as part of the blueprint would be integrated into your general plans in the form of policies. So, for instance, a range of housing choices, that you would convert that into a policy and include that probably in your housing element and other places in your general plan. These are little icons of what those 4 documents are. The summary report is on the left. the guidance framework I'll spend a little time on, and I'll also spend a little time on the planner's toolkit. And to the right, there's an institutional arrangements white paper. After we got into the contract with Mintir Harnish, the policy council said, you know what, why don't you spend a little time and do a little research on different institutional arrangements that might operate in the valley that would be a little bit different from what we have today. Today we have 8 metropolitan planning organizations, or COGs, and there are areas around the state that have multi-county COGs, and so Mintir Harnish did a very nice job, I think, on examining, it's kind of a research piece, examining what those options might be for them to, if they chose to in the future, to take a look at those. Right now, Fresno COG operates under a joint powers agreement, and so all of you, all the cities, are member agencies under a joint powers agreement with the COG. So the guidance framework, which is also considered to be the implementation strategy, it just defines the roles and responsibilities to implement the blueprint. It translates the principles into local plans and practices, identifying resources. It's got a section on financial potentials, resources, and I know that that's probably the biggest issue that you have facing you on your general plan work, and communicating blueprint concepts to build support for implementation. We put out a draft of the implementation strategy. We put it out as an implementation strategy, but we changed the name at the request of several of our friends around the valley wanted to get rid of that implementation word, and so we changed it to guidance framework. Some of our readers wanted to have a more in-depth description of what the water challenges were, which I think every community in the valley can relate to that. We took out all references to will require in the document, because if this was in fact a voluntary process, then why would we be requiring people to do anything? We added nonprofits and not-for-profits as partners for implementation. We expanded the introduction to include the financial resources section to really have a little discussion on just how grim the financial situation is at the local agency level. And we added the institutional arrangements white paper and made some editorial changes. The contents are an executive summary, introduction, talks about the blueprint scenario that I've just covered with you, talks about the context in which we are working. For instance, we are now going to try to implement certain strategies in a world of SB 375, and I think you're probably familiar with SB 375 and sustainable community strategies that came into law in 2006 and 2008. So it really changes what we do at COG in our planning, and we will be partnering with you as we try to move down that path. I talked about financial resources. Where might you find some money to do some of this important work? And then a bibliography and then some appendices. The strategies are to explore original leadership structure, to continue and expand the Valley Legislative Advocacy Program. I know that Mayor Fast is familiar with the One Voice trip, and at COG we have actually 4 advocacy trips that we take, 2 to Sacramento and 2 to Washington, D.C., 1 as Fresno County and 1 as a Valley group goes. We want to translate the blueprint into city and county policies and actions, maintain and expand the planner's toolkit, create a greenprint program. Today we held the first meeting, the launch meeting of the greenprint, which is a companion piece to the blueprint, but it deals more with natural resource conservation and water issues. Create a technical coordinating committee, an annual regional event, which we currently do. We have a fall policy conference and a blueprint awards program. A leadership training for public and for public outreach, monitoring the blueprint implementation, and developing a valley-wide vision statement. I think each of us had a vision statement for our own county, but we've tried to craft that into a statement that everybody could agree on. Now you can imagine 62 cities, 8 counties, and 8 COGs coming to agreement. If anybody's ever done a vision statement, I think it's the most challenging wordsmithing exercise you'll ever do. So I think we might be there. The institutional arrangements white paper, I talked a little bit about that. This just shows different layouts of the valley, and on the far left is, this is how it is today. There are 7 counties and 7 councils of government. We could, as we move forward with our sustainable community strategy, it's conceivable that we could do one for the valley, but it's not likely that we'll do that. It's just way too challenging. Or we could break it into sub-regions and do it that way. And we have been talking to the other, I call them the Mid-Valley counties, it's Madera, Fresno, Tulare, and Kings, that perhaps we have the most in common and should be considering doing this exercise together. So we're looking into that right now. As you know, there are commuters that go to the Bay Area from as far south as Merced. So from, we think Merced North, they have a commute shed that's similar, and Kern County has got, they have a lot of diversity within their own county. We took it to the planners work group. We've had a planners work group that's been with us since the beginning of this process, and they had three major considerations that they wanted us to look at. One was to do a better job of describing the traffic modeling that was done during the blueprint, to clearly state that implementation is voluntary, and to define implementation. So it's that recurring theme, I think. And I would say that these issues are coming mostly from south of us. Okay, now the planner's toolkit. And I have a volunteer in the audience, Mr. Beletic. This, we're pretty excited about this. This is web-based, and David is going to give it a try to see how easily it operates. And the purpose of this was to, in fact, I think I've got a couple of slides here, to provide the communities with resources, to use existing smart growth resources that meet the needs of the valley and enlist ideas and experiences that evolve. This is an interactive website, so that when a planner goes into this website and starts doing some research, I want to look into ag buffers or whatever their topic is. I want to do a housing element. They can come into the website, and then they can look at case studies, and they can also type in, there's a section for them to type in their feedback of, boy, does this thing make me work harder? Boy, do I love this, right?
Yeah, we love it.
Do I love this? Okay.
No.
It's in a beta version, which means that it's kind of a test case, and so we're asking people to try it out, test it, send us comments so that we can make it as good as we can make it for you and provide that for our local agencies. So, that's what it looks like. And I go here, and then I go... All right.
Okay.
All right.
So what am I doing?
Okay, so this is the home page. And we went to the planners and we said, hey, you know, we can't do everything for everybody, so tell us what are the most important tools that you need. So they gave us a list of 20 tools, I think. And so we took, those were the ones that we used to populate the website. So it's, for instance, transportation, infrastructure. These were the things that the planners told us were most important. So, and then this is, you can just, why don't you just go, kind of click across the top. The little house, of course, is the home page up top. And then it talks about the toolkit, the highest rated tools and popular tools. And then the ones with blueprint principles, you want to click on that? So it's got the 12 smart growth principles, and then if you scroll down, it's got a little icon for each principle, and those are the 12 that are in the little booklet. And then up here, it's got popular tools. Okay, so highest rated tools. This changes as people go into the website and rate the tools. Oh, I think Healthy Community Initiative is, you know, that was the highest rated tool. And then popular tools specifically. Go ahead and look at that. So then you can go down and it talks about specific plans, help us, and then go down a little bit farther. So then it has, if you want to submit something, you might have a template or a document or a process or an ordinance, whatever. You might have something that you want to submit. You can actually upload to us, and then we'll have a committee that will look this stuff over and make sure it's appropriate, and then we can upload it to the website.
I'm going to put Readly for spell check. I spelled Readly wrong.
Oh, and it let you?
Good job, David.
Land use, yes.
General
plans.
Should have had this a couple of years ago.
So, and then it tells what principles does it relate to, so those are, this relates to all the principles, and then applicable community size, so if you're a small community or a medium or a large community, it tells, so this is applicable to all community sizes. And then over here, it has got templates, it gives examples of templates for community, for general plans.
Or the public can get on this website right now?
Not right now. But it will, if they have the link, if they have the link, they can get on it.
I think it's important, though, that once it's up and running, the public is one of the major users of this website. Planning Commission would benefit from this. If you have an item coming up, the Plan Commission, you want to see similar examples. It's a great tool. I'm really impressed with the website.
So other communities then, Barbara, are loading, are going to load like their information of what they have to, that they've done, work that they've done, or ideas of ways of doing different sections?
If they want to request something, would you put up here? I'll give you an example. When we had one of our Valley Planners meetings, Ben Kimball from, he was in Portugal at the time, he wanted to know how his general plan, if it really met the blueprint, you know, criteria. Was it blueprint friendly? So he developed a matrix and went through his general plan, and he was thrilled to find out, you know, and that's why I'm saying, a lot of communities are already, they're doing this stuff. So he created this matrix. That's a tool that we will put on the toolkit, so that people can use this little matrix to take it to, you know, use
the
their
test.
Own general plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do it yourself general plan.
Oh, is that an advertisement for Nature? Are they populating our building?
It's from Home Depot. No, it's Nature. I noticed this mustache up here.
So that's just a little overview. It does have it has case studies and it has resources. So
I lost that.
It's okay. Good job.
Oh, good.
You want to do more?
Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay. So that's the type of resources that we're trying to help our member agencies with to make the, you know, transition. The next thing you'll be seeing before is when we come out and we really launch our sustainable community strategy, because I see the blueprint really is the launching point that will take us from, I mean, it provided really the foundation for us to move forward with SB 375 and our sustainable community strategy. So we'll, you know, we'll again do outreach to our member agencies to make sure that everybody's on board as we move down that path. That has a little bit more teeth in it, I think, than the blueprint. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so okay. Just a clarification, Barbara, this is voluntary. This is not mandatory at this point.
It's not mandatory. But as a planner, I have to say that it's got some good stuff in it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Darlene Mata is going to come up and introduce the circulation element. Thank you, Barbara. I just wanted to point out the thing that sticks with me the most is that 8 units an acre number that we all hear that scares us all. And thank you for pointing out that that's a countywide goal, that you're going to see that down the road. This is a 2050 plan in the major metropolitan areas of Fresno and Clovis, but over in the other areas, it's more like 5.9 units an acre. And we had already set a goal of 5 units an acre in 2001 with our Reedley specific plan, and have projects on the ground that are working towards that goal. So it's important to recognize this isn't a radical change for us. It's an incremental change in density, but it's not a radical change in us going from what the current county average is of 3.8 to 8, which is doubling, and I think that's what people hear when they hear that number. I just want to let everybody be assured that that's not what we're trying to push.
Well, as we, and as just to take off of that, as we discussed this with our COGS, we as the smaller cities had many questions on, you're not bringing us and putting us in this group of the bigger cities and making us do what they really need to be doing because of the higher densities. And They kept telling us no, so.
You know, really quick, before I move on to the circulation element, I wanted to also mention, because I'm not sure if everybody was on the council or the commission when we first started the general plan update process. We did have the committee identify some goals, and one of them was commitment to participating in the blueprint process and including that in our general plan update. So we've made a lot of effort to make sure we've done that throughout the process. And those smart growth principles, the 12 of them, were in that land use element that you received a few weeks ago, or a couple of months ago. So we are trying to stay up on that and keep you guys in that loop. So on to the circulation element. The document was given to you this evening. There's not a lot of change from the current adopted circulation element. One of the goals was to include the Reedley specific plan, and the major components of that would affect the circulation element are the street standards. So the policies reflect that we would be moving towards the Reedley specific plan standards. There's also a policy, however, that because some of the older areas of Reedley may not be able to meet those standards, that by approval of the city engineer there could be some deviation. So those are those smaller streets, the narrower streets that you see in a couple of Orchard neighborhood and what's the one?
River Ridge.
River Ridge. Those streets will, those street layouts will become the norm for all new development in the city of Reedley. And we would even try infill projects to have them comply with that street standard as well. And that's probably the biggest difference in this document from what you've seen previously. A couple of the other points are that the LOS, or level of service, if you're not familiar with that, remains at a level of C in the document, and that's the goal for Reedley, is to maintain a level of C on all their streets, arterials, and collectors. That's a decision if the council wanted to deviate from that, but that's pretty normal, is a level of service C. That means, and I don't, the city engineer isn't here this evening, the actual specific parameters of how much of a delay that means at a street light, but it, you know, a D means more congestion and more cars on a street, a C is a little bit lower, and that's an average. If you were to raise that, let's say for a level of service B, your streets would have to be much bigger, be able to handle a lot of traffic, and not, you wouldn't have weights at stoplights. A level of C has some weight, a level of D, you've got some congestion. So I have seen a lot of communities go to a level of service D in recent years just because of the financial considerations of, you know, once you say a C, that is your goal, and that's what you need to plan for as you continue to grow. And it is a financial commitment as well. This element is a little different from some of your other elements that you've seen and will see, in that this one could change as we get the traffic study that is currently being worked on to be part of the environmental impact report. It's being prepared by Omni Means. Depending on what they come up with the traffic counts and where we are with our level of service on our existing streets, could dictate some changes to the maps that you have within this document today. Currently, what's in this is essentially a reflection of where you are today and expanding them into these growth areas that we've identified in the land use, the planning area, excuse me. One other change was identifying traffic calming devices as a way to slow traffic rather than, you know, the traditional intersection. So a commitment to look at those, just like we've just recently completed the roundabout. So we've made that statement in the document to look at those, not just at the existing location, but potentially at future intersections as well. And you know, we're discussing that on Reed Avenue in front of the college. But there's the potential for that to be identified as an alternative in other intersections as well. I think those are the biggest changes in that document. Again, reminder that we weren't changing the entire document itself. There is some inclusion of a commitment to pedestrian accessibility and cul-de-sacs being open if you have them, so that you have connectivity through streets. Those are all that you had, the things that you had in your really specific plan that we've carried over and brought them into the current circulation element. So with that, I'm here to answer any questions. Should you have any?
Were there any changes made to the major arterial? I see that South Avenue looks like is in the plan to be more of an arterial or bigger street in
south.
The future. North there, up Reed and then across South.
Yes, it will be a future arterial, but I do believe that that was added after we see that carrying kind of this loop of traffic up here where your growth area is in the future. That's not something that happens tomorrow. It's not something that happens 5 years from now, but as growth occurs, and in order to maintain your level of service C, South would be a major traffic corridor. At some point in the future to accommodate the traffic in the northern part of Reedley. So.
That's interesting. Are there any comments or questions from council or John? Go ahead.
I would just comment, Darlene, there's corrections that probably need to be made on 3-14. The Visalia branch of the Santa Fe Railway really no longer exists. The only piece that remains alive is the steel trestle, which the SP crosses, or the former SP crosses, and then it resumes back to the original Southern Pacific track on the other side.
Okay.
That's well, where our rail trail exists today.
Well, we'll update that. That's from your existing, and I don't think I was aware that that's the one that you used there. So we'll correct that, make that change. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Since there aren't any questions, I know you've just gotten this today. I know in previous meetings you got the land use element and the introduction. I'd like to mention that these meetings, if you have questions about previous elements and you want to have questions or some discussion about them in future meetings, if you let David or myself know, we'll put that on an agenda. Just because we've already talked about it and moved on to something else doesn't mean you can't go back and discuss items if you find things as you do it. Hopefully a page-by-page read of these things.
Was the bikeway plan expanded from where it was before?
Yes, a little bit. It was expanded to show the current bikeway plan that was adopted by the council about a month and a half ago. So this reflects that bikeway plan and extends those routes out into the planning area. The one you'd previously approved didn't go quite as far out. So we've just extended those routes to go to the future areas as they get developed. I do believe the bikeway plan will be updated every 5 years, so that's one thing. If you go to do an update and you change something in that plan, we would go in and change this as well, mm-hmm. so they're consistent. And for example, if you decided to have a separated bike route someplace, that would then end up being reflected on here in the future. And that one would be reviewed every 5 years.
Darlene, I know you added some language in here about complete streets.
I did. Sorry.
Is this now a requirement of a general plan law? Maybe you could explain just a little bit about that.
Complete streets means you design your streets to accommodate all forms of transportation. So you're accommodating the pedestrian, you're accommodating the bicycle, you're accommodating the car. You design them so that they function well together. You remove some of those interfaces that cause the conflicts, so to speak. So connectivity between streets. So, for example, at one point, probably in the last 10 to 15, maybe 20 years, cul-de-sacs were the thing du jour, and you had them everywhere, and people wanted them closed off at the end. Now we would say to somebody if they wanted to have any cul-de-sacs, they didn't fence them off, they had a pedestrian walkway, so that neighborhood didn't get shut off from the rest of the neighborhood, and the pedestrian had an easier way of a path of travel throughout the city. So looking at how you can accommodate that is the kind of the goal of complete streets, and we have put some of that language, actually a lot of that language, in the policies in this document before you.
Interesting. Are there any questions from the public or any comments at this point?
You spoke of cul-de-sac here, and I did something kind of local came up in relation to safety issues, and I became aware of some folks who were interested in closing off a cul-de-sac. Does this close the door to that kind of closing off thing?
You know, I don't think it closes the door completely. I think you can still look at it as a potential, but you do need your make by including these policies, you're making a commitment to the pedestrians as well as the cars. And, you know, you do shut off. If you look at a cul-de-sac and you put a wall there, the pedestrian walker in that cul-de-sac now has to walk sometimes quite a distance away to get to that other point that's just on the other side of the wall. Maybe even a friend that's on the other side, or ride a bike. It's not very easy. So as you look at those closures, we have had them requested in the past.
Safety issues.
And if there are issues, I think you have an obligation to look at those as well. So you weigh them on a case-by-case basis. But the policies that we've included in here do make a commitment that you do consider the pedestrian as you evaluate projects in the future.
Have we really looked at truck parking as it relates to the city? Because the truck parking now seems to be fairly inadequate, or it's really hard for people that live in the community that are truckers to park someplace and commute home.
Right. We didn't, as part of this document, look at a place for trucks to park, and actually it's probably something we need to look at as an ordinance in for the city, because we have ordinances that restrict parking on a lot of the streets in the city of Reedley. So, you know, at some point you have to look at where do you want them to go, if you're going to say they can't be anywhere. Where do you want them to go? So that's probably something that's an ongoing thing, not necessarily that this document identifies a location, but that we as a city and through our municipal code identify maybe changes that we want to make in order to accommodate those. But it is an issue. I know every community has the same issue with the trucks.
Well, I know one that I'm really aware of is some trucker wanting to park next to his house, I guess, coming into the city of Reedley, and along the fog line on the right-hand side, his truck is this far away from it. And at nighttime or in the fog, that to me is a major safety hazard.
Right.
And if I understand county regulations, you're not supposed to park on the county right of way, and the highway patrol and deputy sheriff drive by it and ignore it multiple times per day.
Right.
And even when it's foggy.
It is an issue. We do have a municipal code for trucks parking in the city in locations that they're not supposed to. You're not supposed to drive trucks over a certain way in local streets, and that's kind of a street maintenance issue, as you get those heavy trucks if you allowed them on all your local streets all the time, you know.
Well, that's not what I was getting at at all, but it might be something we want to look at as part of the planning process to maybe add some designated areas maybe on the western side of town rather than strictly on the east.
Yeah. I think we do have some area where it could go on the west if somebody wanted to do a truck parking facility. They usually come with other showers, gas station, that kind of stuff, if that's what you're talking about.
No. That would be a
truck stop.
A facility. Yeah. That's more like a truck stop. This is just someplace for the guy that wants to stop off at home overnight. But it's a major inconvenience when he lives on the west side of town to go park along one of the truck routes on the eastern side of town, then get a ride, have somebody come and pick him up, and then deliver him, because it, a lot of times they leave at 1 or 2 o'clock
running
in the morning. You know, getting the wife up to deliver you is maybe not the best way to ensure domestic tranquility.
We can talk about that internally, separately from this, as to what we can do for that.
Where this helps you is you have a truck route map. So please be mindful that you have truck routes throughout the community. And those are the areas where, by ordinance, we could talk about parking.
Right.
And then, you know, this topic's come up at the city council level, and I agree, you know, we have a lot of citizens in our community who drive trucks for a living. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do got to look at that. And these are people who have kids in our schools and are buying homes here and stuff. And, you know, I just think we need to look at that as opposed to just citing it.
And it's difficult. I think we'll grant that.
It is a difficult issue.
But I think it's, I think if we were to add up the numbers, I think it's substantial people that work in that line of business that live in our community.
Well, we'll take a look at it outside of this process, put it on our...
And I think in the document we probably have included some sort of a cost, what it would cost the city or a developer or whoever.
Right.
In order to provide that type of facility.
Well, of course. I mean, we need to do that. But I think we just can't simply tag people all the time who write tickets and, you know, they live here. We've got to do something, look at that. And if there is a cost attached to it, I think it needs to be passed on, too.
Great. Anything else?
I'm just cruising through this, and I see we have air transportation too as part of this, because we have the airport. Do you mm-hmm. want to speak maybe a little bit about that?
The airport, it is part of your transportation system because you do have an airport here, so the policies are commitment to maintaining that, making sure it remains viable, that you protect the environs around the airport so that you don't diminish its capacity in the future, and also has some commitments to the continued development of the airport based on the current airport master plan. You have a master plan that was adopted, I want to say, early 2000s? 2003 or so. And in reviewing that document, a lot of the goals of and projects that had been identified in 2003 have been completed by the city of Reedley. So it's probably time to take a look at what do you do now for the next 10 years. So once that gets done, this would also get updated. But these policies make a commitment to maintaining your airport and protecting it so it continues to be a viable route of transportation to the community of Reedley. Probably, since you mentioned that, probably should mention that we do have a mention in here of the water master plan, storm drain, and sewer. You know, although you don't think of those as transportation in cars, we are transporting water. So they are part in here. They're not discussed because they aren't complete yet. I think you're aware that we've been working on those master plans. Those will be completed, and a description of them and the policies that reflect how we continue to grow that infrastructure will be included in this document at some point when those are completed.
That's the 3.10?
Yeah, they're just kind of a placeholder in there right now.
Thank you, Darlene.
Thank you.
That's all the new material we have for tonight. We have the room all night if you want it, and if you have questions of anything else related to the general plan update, material we've gone over before, anything we've gone over tonight, if you want to invite the audience to ask any questions they may have, it's not limited to the material that was introduced tonight or the material that was introduced in previous workshops. We're here to take any questions they may have or you may have, and see if there's anybody that's interested. Does anybody have any questions? Well, the next meeting is scheduled for April 25th. I believe that's the day after Easter. I want to make sure that that's okay with the committee.
Is that a vacation day for the schools?
No.
So we're okay with April 25th?
I think that would be fine.
And at that meeting, we should be introducing the open space element, and we should also have Fresno County staff present to talk to you about their perspective on the proposed sphere expansion and other related issues with the county. But again, next meeting is April 25th, and we will have the open space element in Fresno County, and there is additional time if there's anybody in the audience that has any questions.
Is that the only question?
I think we're going to be done early unless you have questions.
Are there any questions of staff? No?
Thank you, and then I'll see you on April 25th.
Okay. Thank you, David.